Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's happening, everybody? It's the Hammer. It's the Rugby Rant. And we have a very special show today. It's special because this is part of our coaching series. The idea was to get all 11 coaches on the show as a lead up to the 2025 season, because I know all you fans are absolutely chomping at the bit to get that February 15th match started so we can get 2025 going. Because we all miss rugby in spite of all the wonderful internationals that have been happening. And we have a special guest here today. It is none other than head coach of the Miami Sharks, and that is Jose Cochi Pelicina.
That's it.
Cochi, welcome to the show, mate.
Thanks, Rob. Hello, everybody. And thanks so much for inviting me to be part of this awesome podcast and, you know, to keep sharing the rugby around the United States and the North America, I think is a huge opportunity to keep growing. We as coaches, we as teams, and the rugby overall, I think it's important. So stay connect, know each other. So I think it's one of the main focus of the rugby in the world. And I'm really excited to be here in the States.
Well, what's wonderful about the Miami Sharks organization, aside from the way they tap into the local community and really bring the local flair into the stadium, is the fact that you guys, and I don't want to say more so than any other club, but right there at the top, you're right there with the top clubs, you really want to grow the game, and you're really willing to share your experiences with this show and with all the fans, and it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's one of the key points of the Miami Sharks. It's not only be competitive on the MLR seasons, but try to help to keep growing the rugby in South Florida, because we don't arrive here to teach no one how to play rugby or how to develop rugby. We are here not only for play the MLR season, but as well to help the rugby community to keep growing. I think there are some very good rugby clubs here. There are some very good coaches and players. So the only thing that we keep doing is help them to be better, but not win more games only. Be better in the way they coach, be better in the way they leave the rugby environment. You know, we have a Latin environment here. We have many Latin people from South America, from Central America, and we try to bring the way that we've been as players when we've been in South America and the way that we coach in South America as well. So is that the idea? And I really enjoy that situation as well in the second part of the year.
100%. And the way Miami plays the game is wonderful to see. But I want to dig into you and your background and then talk about, of course, your team and you as you roll in with your team into 2025. So first of all, for fans, can you just talk a little bit about your background, how you got into rugby and some of your coaching experience? Because after all, your nickname is Coachy. You got it for a reason.
Yeah. You know, I'm 47 years old. I started playing rugby in La Plata, is my city next to Buenos Aires, when I had 5 years old. So really young, with my two brothers, older brothers. So that's the way that I've been connected with rugby from the really beginning. After that, I've been playing rugby in my club, my local club, La Plata Rugby Club. And I had experience playing overseas in Italy, in Parma, from 2002 until 2009. And my last 3 years as a player, I start doing some coaching stuff, coaching role with the youth levels. And that's identified that is something that I really attract. And I know I like it. And that's why I keep doing that. After that, when I finish my rugby career as player in Italy, I come back to Argentina and do some coaching with my club and as well with some, province selections teams. And the last 10 years, I work for the Argentinian Rugby Union, the name is UAR, with different roles, with the academy, with the senior team, Los Pumas. After I was involved, I was part of the first super rugby team from Argentina, Jaguares team, in 2016 and 17. And after that, I was involved mainly with the under 20s and other NT level as a head coach. The name of that team is Los Pumitas. We used to play Junior World Cups. Before, technical advisor for the national team. So I was involved with all the teams at the same time. And that was my last role in Argentina, coach as a coach. So I've been part of national teams. I've been part of development teams and club level. So fortunately, I know many details of all the parts of the chain in the develop and the way that we grow rugby.
I think that's important to recognize because we see it here in the States that somebody that has coached from the, from the ground up really understands that pathway process, which is critically important, of course, here in the United States to growing the sport of rugby, as you talked about earlier. But I want to get into, of course, the Miami Sharks a little bit and what we expect to see in 2025. And so what I'm interested in hearing a little bit about from you is every season brings new challenges. And I think we just had the season schedule come out yesterday as of our recording. I think some fans are going to see some challenges built within that. But I'm interested in hearing what you believe is one challenge that you expect to encounter in the 2025 season and look forward to tackling yourself as coach of the
Miami. Yeah, the challenge is be better than last season. So that's the main focus that we have. We try to grow. We try to keep developing the team. And again, the only way that we can be really successful is we keep working the way we do, take the learnings from last season and do something better for the next one. And that's my main challenge as a head coach for the coaching staff and for the players as well. I think the process will give us the results. I don't want to skip the process because that's happened. When you do that, I think you are making a huge mistake. Is you think only in win games, but the process is so important. It's more important because from my point of view, win games is a result, is a consequence to the process that you're doing. I think, again, we learned a lot from last season. I learned a lot from last season. And I think we have to put all the knowledge for the next one. We keep mainly the same roster. We will maybe keep, I think, almost 70% of the roster for the next one, for the 2025 season. So the other challenge that we have is trying to get involved as soon as we can, all the new players. But get involved means trying to put them inside the way that we want to work, our Miami Sharks culture, and trying to create a huge and a strong connection between the players from last season, the playing for the new season, and the new players arriving, and as well on the coaching staff. So we have a huge opportunity to do better next one. And we have, at the same time, a lot of work to do. But we are really excited with the, maybe I think there are less than 90 days until the pre-season starts. So the season starts, sorry. So we are really excited and focused on the way that we have to work.
You know, it's very interesting. You're talking a lot about keeping some consistency within the roster. And I do want to talk about some of those players that you're excited about seeing come into this environment. And so I want to talk first about some of those new signings, since you mentioned it. What new signings should fans in Miami be really excited about in 2025?
So I think to talk about all the new signings, because all of them have different good things. That's why we sing them. For sure, there are some key positions that we are looking for. We hire a number 10. We have a new number 8. We have some new locks. So I think all players are important in the same way. I don't like to say, this will be our best player next season, because from my point of view, all players, international rugby players, and maybe the young players, they are really important for the roster team. If you identify a season, we hire and we pick Ricky Rose on the first pick on staff. And Ricky started 12 games last season, and he was more in 16 games in the last season. And he's supposed to be the youngest guy in the team. And he's really impressed the way that he developed, the way that he played. So I like to talk about players, but each part of the team is important in the same way.
Yeah, and Ricky, what a great young man you have on your hands there. I've had him on the show. I talked to him in person when Miami came to Chicago. Just a special young man. And when you talk to his parents, you really get an idea of why he is such a special individual, not just on the field, but off it as well. What a great product and a great pickup for you guys. The fact that he played all 16 games as such a young man was a huge feather in the cap to allow him to develop as a Miami Sharks organization, but also a feather in his cap as well to really be that durable, to be around for all 16 matches. I'm curious, since you talked about the 2023 selection, I'm curious to know about Miami's two selections in the 2024 draft. Of course, we're talking about at number 3, Calvin Eirig from Lindenwood University, and picked at number 27, Latoro Anse, also from Lindenwood University. What do you like about both of these Lindenwood products, Coachy?
What I liked from them is the learning capacity that they have. So, you know, like I said before, I'm really excited about the young players and develop young players and talent to the future. That's the way that we work with Ricky and some other guys or young guys that was involved in the team last season. And about Calvin and Lautaro, what I think is they are very good athletic guys with a good rugby IQ already in their experience. And the only thing that I trust and I would like to bring them is more game time, trying to get them involved in the games, because I believe that they can train many, many, many minutes and many hours during the week. But the main focus that we have on the young players is give them game time, because it's a way that they have to develop. It's a way that is what they need to be better week by week. So we I really expect a lot of from them, but I expect from their teammates to help them to grow, not fast, but in a consistency path every day.
And I know Calvin very well. He played with my son just this last fall with the St. Louis Bombers and during the summer, during the seven season as well. What a special young man. And I can't wait to see him in a Miami Sharks jersey this season. I'm looking forward to it. I want to talk more about the players and what your expectations and where you see this roster developing. So I'm curious, and I have two questions that kind of go hand in hand here. At what positions is Miami the most deep where you can, you know, you can sustain the, you know, the injury or the ability to kind of, you know, feed in some guys to give individuals the right amount of rest? So that's number one. And at what positions will some players have to really step up and take charge?
You know, trying to create and to build a roster for the next season, we identify that for sure we have some key positions, tight head prop, scrum half, number 10, a hooker, that we need really specialists on that areas. But at the same time, what I learned from the last season is that we need some utility positions as players. So we have, for example, we have for the next season, maybe we have four hookers where one of them can play as flanker as well. So trying to combine many options inside the roster was my main focus when we try to recreate or rebuild the roster for the 2025 season. In the same way, we focus on the backs, looking for maybe players that can play on the back three positions as well as centers, and maybe some of them can play as number 10 as well. So I think we have a good balance between forwards and backs. I think we find a very good balance between domestic players and foreign players. And I'm really happy the way that we create the roster for this second year that is surviving. So I think we are good balance. We are not, we don't have the longest roster in the league. But anyway, I think we have very good options and talent players in all the positions.
I love that approach because you mentioned taking a hooker, for example, that can also fill in at the back row position on either flank, or taking a back that has some utility. It also lends itself to some utility when you're trying to manage the number of international spots on game day in your game day 23. So it shows a lot of intelligence in building a roster that you're allowing yourself some flexibility to manage that piece of the puzzle. So that's great stuff, Coachy, for sure. I want to turn a little bit more in this last part of our interview towards you and fans that are just getting into the MLR or down there in Miami, just, you know, realizing what a gem they have in the Miami Sharks. They're not in the stadium, in the locker rooms, in the sheds on a daily basis to know you and know how you coach and know how you interact with the players. So I'm curious, and I think fans are curious, how would you describe your coaching style to fans that have not spent a day training with the Miami Sharks, but want to have some insight into what it's like?
You know, I can define my coaching philosophy and the way that I coach as a player-centered coaching or athlete-centered coaching style, because I want to give tools to players to be better every day. So I focus mainly on them. And when I say be better day by day or every day, it's not only about technical stuff. It's not only about playing rugby or as a rugby players. I try to help them to be better as a human. So it's an overall vision. It's not only win games and be the best player in the league. It's trying to be the best person. And because you are a good person, you are a good people, you will be the best player. But it's not only about be the best player in the world, because I think at the end of the day, being a short season and very high intensity season, we need good people connected inside the team. And I think that's the makes the difference. And not only in a short season like the MLR is, in general, on the national scene as well, we're trying to look all the time, stay connected as person, as human beings, you know, that we are, because I think it's the most important thing. Sometimes many people or many coaches said the same, and I convinced we have to do many things to arrive to that situation. And that's the way that we like to work. I like to work in that way. I used to work with young players and with senior players in Argentina. And after many years as a professional coach, I identified that the most important thing is create a very good environment, a very good group, a very healthy group inside the people that play rugby. That's the way that I believe is the best way to get results. And not only about winning games, but results as a team.
I think that's really, really important. I agree with you 100%. As a coach myself, I coach girls wrestling, and I tell the girls all the time, I said, we play sports to win and be successful, but I define success also by developing good young ladies, strong young ladies, for the same reason you're trying to develop good human beings within your organization. And sometimes taking that individual that you know is going to be a better human being, even though he might be slightly lesser of a player than somebody who's really good, it's going to end at the end game, it's going to be better for the team. And I really think that's a great approach. I appreciate that so much, Coachy. I got to ask you, I was going to talk a little bit and ask you about coaching the United States and what excites you, but you've already kind of talked about that. Instead, I want to turn our attention a little bit in this next question and spin this to the idea of the schedule, because I know that the players' union came out. There were some concerns that they expressed about the schedule, and I don't want to put you behind the eight ball here. Instead, I want to ask you a little bit about, I know the Miami Sharks have the two games on May 4th and then May 9th. So we have two games within 5 days, and that's kind of a tight turnaround. So I'm going to more ask you from a coaching perspective. I think you're at Chicago up here by me, and then you go down to NOLA. How will you manage that week? Will you guys try to stay in the Midwest to make that, to kind of shorten that trip a little bit? Or are you going to go back to Miami? How do you manage something like that, in that tight turnaround for your games?
We've been talking about this inside our organization. We are discussing the best way that we will manage the schedule for the next season. In general, I think we're trying to manage the loads of players in the short weeks and as well on the long weeks. But I think it's a huge challenge, not only for Miami, but for the all teams in the States, the long travels that we have. When we go to Seattle, we have 7 hours flight plus 3 hours. The time zones change or difference. So it's a good experience that I learned again from last season, how to manage the travels, because it's a huge part of the game. And it's like playing another game. We have to travel to the West Coast and mainly on the north of the West Coast. So about what we will do in the middle of the weeks, in the short weeks, we're still discussing and we're trying to figure out what's the best option that we have. But anyway, what I can manage as coach is manage the loads of players. I can manage the calendar. I can manage the schedule. The calendar is what it is. And inside our team, we have to be really, really intelligent and smart how to manage the loads of players. And if we travel with maybe an extra players, and we keep here in Miami some others, and when we come back from a long trip, okay, we swap a little bit the team or the roster for the next game in Miami, and do some stuff like that. I think is important. When we used to play in South America Super Rugby, and we traveled to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and Japan, we had experience like this. So I had some experience, but again, on the MLR, it's a huge challenge, but it's part of the game. And it's something that we have to learn and manage in the same way.
What a great approach. And again, I think that speaks a lot to the culture and the vibe and the feel within the Miami Sharks, is that, yes, it's an issue, but it's one that you can, you got to figure out the best way to manage it. You know, there's that story about bison. As bison is one of the few mammals that actually go into storms when there's trouble, you know, they, and the idea is they want to get through it. You know, horses run away from storms and eventually get caught. Bison run through the middle of it to get through it. And I think that approach is great. I love the fact that you're already forward thinking about managing load and players for the player benefit, taking a few extra players on the trip so that you can really do a better job at managing. It shows a lot of forward thinking on your behalf. It's outstanding to hear. So I'm curious, and I spoke with the manager, Lucas Cucurelli. I think I got his name right. I have to remember. A few months back. And I said, you guys had a successful season. He says to me, do you think so? And I said, what, 100%? 100%. I think you guys did had a great first season. A lot of teams have struggled in the season, and you guys were really chomping at the bit to get into that playoff spot. So I got to know, second year in, you're drawing from all those experiences from last year that you mentioned before. What are your 2025 season KPIs? For folks that don't know, key performance indicators, what are your 2025 season KPIs coming up this season?
You know, we can talk about KPI, about results and performance. And I like to talk a lot or maybe more about performance that's after that develop in results. So our performance, we have really good standards from the last season, and we need to achieve the same ones and maybe go over that numbers or stats or performance levels. And we are looking to that. For sure, we want results at the same time because we are a professional rugby team. And talking about results, we want to win more games than last season. Last season, we played 16 games. We won 6 and we lost 10. So we are looking to win more games in the next one. So I don't know. If you ask me, I want to win 16 games. For sure. I want to win all the games that we play. Hopefully, they are the playoff, the semifinal, and the final included in this win games idea. Hopefully, we are right to that. But again, I convinced that for win games, we need a process. And the process is performance. And performance, we have a really clear where we want to go, out of performance. And after that, and the other day, that good performance develop and the good results. And that's our idea. If you ask me, I want to play the MLR final 2025. It's a dream, maybe, I don't know, but I work and I wake up every morning thinking on that.
Well, and you're absolutely right. Professional organization, that's why you were hired. That's why you were asked to steer the ship, is to win the MLR Shield, bring that down to South Beach and enjoy the spoils of that. But I also like the fact that you have your eye on performance and a process. Sometimes you can lose a match, but the way in which it's lost, you can still show growth. You can still show progress, and you can still be happy with the result in spite of the fact that might not be, you know, you might have an L in that column. If the players achieve what you're looking for them achieved, if they show individual growth, you could be happy with the result. One last question before we take you out of here, Coachy. I got to ask, and you, because this is the second year, you probably don't have as much experience on this one as perhaps some coaches that have been around a while, like Clarkie over there in Seattle. But is it me, or have we seen a lot more player personnel moves this season than in seasons past?
Yeah, you know, maybe there are some new players movement, and there are some new players arriving, and they're out of movement. But I don't have a lot of experience on this league, so as you said, that was my first one this year, but last season. And again, what I think about this league is getting more attractive for players around the world. And I think that is a very good message. So also, not only from Europe, from the South Hemisphere, New Zealand, Australia, or maybe in South Africa, but in South America, it's getting more attractive, and there are more international players. They are looking for have an opportunity or have an and space here in the MLR. So I think we need, we as coaches, we as players, we as an MLR people, we need to keep growing the game. And grow the game, again, means create a good environment, an attractive environment, a fun environment, in the way that we play, in the way that we do train, and the way that we live the rugby games. I think we have a very good environment when we play here in Miami, and I would like to have the same. I know that there's a lot of work on the road, but trying to create a good atmosphere in every games that we play, I think is so important, because we need to be attractive. And for be attractive, we need to create a good environment, a good experience. A game experience is important. And the game experience is not only on field, but it's as well off field. So I'm convinced that this league will be full of good players in the future. Everything's looking for 2031 with the World Cup being hosted here in the States. And I'm really excited about it.
I was just going to ask you that, right? You're talking about, creating a fun environment, an attractive environment, really growing the game, especially down there in South Beach. I mean, is South Beach one of the best places to host the Rugby World Cup in 2031 for the men and 2033 for the women?
100%. 100%, because not only about the weather, that's, you know, that is important.
Yeah.
But as well, because as you know, in South Florida, many Latin people, the population here is there are a lot of Latins. So, and the way that we live as Latins, the rugby games and the games in general, is not better than others, but it's different. And it's different. For host a rugby World Cup, I think it's important to have different experience around the states. And here in the United States, the good thing is huge country with different environments, different kind of people around the country. If you host in Argentina, the World Cup is the same in the whole country. So I think it's interesting to have here the World Cup in the future. Will be I think it's an amazing experience for everybody, and will be really, really good if Miami is one of the points of the states that host one of the pools, or hopefully maybe the final in the Chase Stadium.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I mean, I can't think of a country that would create more of a diverse experience than the United States. Imagine a quarterfinals, semifinals in Miami, in New Orleans, in Chicago, in LA. I mean, if you think about the difference between these four cities and the cultural nuances of each, what an amazing experience that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, we kind of start thinking about the 2031 final World Cup in the Hard Rock Stadium here in Miami. So you never know. I don't know where I'm here, but anyway, yeah. I'm here to at least to watch the final.
At 100%. Well, Coach, it has been an absolute pleasure to spend, you know, a half an hour talking rugby with you and just soaking up the energy coming out of the Miami Sharks. It's very clear from my perspective how much you are committed and to growing rugby in the United States, care about the boys down there in Miami, and want to see success on and off the field from the Miami Sharks. I want to thank you so much for taking the time out to join the Rugby Rant and talk a little bit about the Miami Sharks and where you see them going in 2025, mate.
Thank you, Rob. And again, I think this is one of the ways that we develop rugby in the States, talking about it and not hiding things, open my mind and my heart to everybody and saying what I really think, and really in the way that we can help to grow rugby. I think I'm convinced about it. And I'm here if you need something else and you want to connect again in the future. Here I am.
Well, 100%. And listen, Miami is coming to Chicago, where I'll be here on the sideline on my birthday, right? On my birthday. So I can't wait to see you up here. I'm looking so forward to it. And I wish you all the best, Miami Sharks, all the best in the run-up to the 2025 season. I hope it's a good one. And I wish the Miami Sharks success on and off the field down there in South Beach, mate.
Thank you so much, man. And keep in touch. Thank you very much.
Cheers. And folks, stick with us. We're going to be bringing you all the coaches as we progress closer to 2025 and this start date, which we know now is February 15th. We're going to be bringing you our coaching series, just giving you a little peek inside each one of the MLR teams. And of course, we thank Coachy for joining us from the Miami Sharks, and we can't wait to see what they do in 2025. Folks, keep checking us out because we're growing rugby one fan at a time, just like they are down there in South Beach. And we'll see everybody at the next.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.